At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30. Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. Joe Ostrowski, Aaron Hawksworth with you. We do have some NFL news. Lamar Jackson just let us know that he did request a trade earlier this month. We'll get into that in about 20 minutes. But right now, Mike Rutherford of CardChronicle.com and The Mike Rutherford Show joins us. And I cannot wait to get into the Final Four with Mike this morning. Like, I want to start with FAU, SDSU, San Diego State. They are the favorites, 1.5-point favorites. So we've got the really good defensive team against a more balanced, deeper team in FAU. What do you like in this matchup when we take an early look here on Monday morning?
As a Louisville guy here, I'm ready to talk Lamar, but we can talk Final Four if we want to. That's fine. Either way, San Diego State, Florida Atlantic. I think it's like it's the 6th 5-9 matchup in the history of the NCAA tournament, which is pretty wild. Not a typical matchup that you get in any NCAA tournament, but not especially here in the Final Four. And you're right, it's a matchup of offense versus defense. It's going to be a matchup, I think, of who can control, who can impose their will, who can play the type of style that they want to play. San Diego State has held opponents to, I think, 18.6% shooting from three in their 4 NCAA tournament games. They've not been fun to watch just because of how they play. Florida Atlantic, when things are going well, they're extremely fun to watch. They want to get out. They play with a lot of tempo. They share the ball extremely well. They take a bunch of shots from the outside. They're one big guy, really the only size they have on their team, Golden inside, 7'1", played really, really well in the Elite Eight. He can, I think, hold his own against anybody that SDSU throws against him. It's going to be a matter of whether or not Florida Atlantic can make San Diego State uncomfortable, which is really seen. They've been behind a little bit in a couple of their games, but they haven't been behind enough to change style up. If FAU can come out and make a bunch of shots, if they can take care of the ball better than they did in their regional final game where they turned it over 22 times, I think that they can make SDSU uncomfortable and get away from that style that they're so familiar with, they're so accustomed to, and play a little bit more of an up-tempo game. But it's going to probably more than likely, just based on the way that San Diego State has imposed their will on everybody else, I think be more of a grinder in that first in that first national semifinal.
All right, well, let's talk about the Final Four as a whole. Last year, it's all blue bloods. This year, we get one blue blood and three teams that have never been in the Final Four before. Due to the record, I think we all talked about Florida Atlantic's path. As long as they could get past Memphis, there's a possibility because that region was always going to get blown up, and that's exactly what happens. We laugh at the Mountain West every year. We've got a Mountain West team in. We were saying the ACC's down. The ACC has a team representing. CUSA has a team. The vaunted Big 12, that everyone's like, oh, well, which Big 12s are going to make their deep runs? Well, in the end, none make the Final Four after what occurred last night. So is this good? Are you happy with the Final Four that we have in Houston?
I am. I mean, I know that people are going to have differing opinions, but like you mentioned, first Final Four ever without a 1, 2, or a 3 seed. No McDonald's All-Americans on any of the four teams left. No top 30 recruits on any of the four teams still standing. And I think I get people who will say, look, the upsets are cool for the first couple of rounds, but I want top-seeded blue bloods, heavyweight battles in the Final Four. I want to see two teams just duking it out. You get that in most years. In most seasons, you're going to have one and two seeds playing in the Final Four. We've had a one seed win the national title, I think, 7 of the last 8 seasons. Like, I think every now and then having a bizarro Final Four is a good thing for the sport. I think it reminds you, mm-hmm. part of the allure of March Madness is the unpredictability of it all. Staring at that bracket and seeing endless possibilities. And what fun is it if it's endless possibilities, but every single year we end up with number one seed Kansas versus number one seed North Carolina, or some seeds cut from that same cloth. Every now and then having a Final Four tossed in here that just makes no sense. And it keeps us on our toes. It keeps us honest. It reminds us that this is possible, that anything is possible in March Madness, which is why we all love it so much. So it's not going to be every year. I think 4 out of every 5 years, you're going to have 1 and 2 seeds battling for it. They're going to be the names that you're accustomed to. But every now and then having something like this that reminds us that, yeah, this is, like, anything really is possible in this event, and it's why we love it so much, I think is a good thing for the sport.
Speaking of good things for the sport, what was your overall assessment of the Creighton foul? A very controversial late in that game. You know, it was a foul, but they weren't calling that all game, and it seems like there's a lack of consistency on what they decide to call and when. Where do you side on all of that?
As a fan, I hated seeing the game end like that. I mean, I think that you want a satisfying end in any game, and the whole last minute of Creighton-San Diego State I thought was wildly unsatisfying. You've got, you know, Alexander's shot dances all over the rim with 33 seconds left. They just could not get anything to go. Even the game-tying basket, it comes on a weird out-of-bounds play that sort of looked like it was designed by Creighton. Like, they throw a lob underneath their own basket, and it was just the whole thing was strange. And then when the initial whistle was blown, I was like, you can't call that. You can't call that. Looking at it, I agree with your assessment. I think it was a foul. I think with, you know, 10 minutes to go in the first half, it has to be a foul in the last minute. I think when you have a guy who goes up, as Tramell did, for a, you know, runner in the lane and then lands going east-west. He went up going north-south. He landed going east-west. That's a foul. You can't push a guy on his hip. You can't have the hand on the back. I think you've got to whistle it. Having said that, it's also a play where if the foul's not called, it's not something that Monday morning on all the sports talk shows, people are screaming about and saying, you've got to call that foul, you've got to call that foul, unless you're a San Diego State fan. I think people would have just been fine with moving, you know, play forward. And so you kind of wish that the whistle hadn't been blown. But I can't sit here and tell you, you can't make that call because it was a foul, like you said. If you're going to call it with 5 minutes to go in the first half, you got to call it with 2 seconds to go in the game. So I'm fine with it moving on. I just hate that it ended in that fashion.
San Diego State, if they were to win the title, with their offensive efficiency being 75th, they would be one of the all-time outliers. Miami, with their defense being outside the top 100, would be one of the all-time outliers as well. Do you think Miami or San Diego State have a puncher's chance at winning the championship?
Yeah, and we've also never had a 5 seed win the national title. So that's another thing. We could have an all 5 seed national championship game. The one line between 1 through 8 that's never produced a national champion since the tournament expanded. So this would be a truly bizarre tournament if one of those teams ended up winning it. But you're right. Like, they defy every single med. Every year we do this thing where it's like you have to check this, this, and this box to win a national title. And one of the big ones in recent years has been being top 20 in offensive and defensive efficiency. And a lot of teams start the tournament outside of those rankings, but they always end there. Miami and San Diego State, they're not getting up there based on the way that they play this weekend. They've been so far back. I think Miami has the better shot just based on the way that they've been playing, based on the fact that they've got 4 guards that can all win you a game, based on the fact that they've got Norshad Omir inside who can play. Like, they've stepped up the defense a little bit in the NCAA tournament. I thought they really played solid defense against Houston. Against Texas, when they made their run, they stuck with the defense there. They can play better than they've played this season. And I don't know if they can play offense better than they've been playing for most of the season. I mean, you saw their best offensive player, like Matt Bradley, very quietly, has had a terrible tournament so far. He can't make anything. Tramell has stepped up for them, thankfully. But it's been like, I don't know if SDSU can kind of flip that switch and just become a good, efficient offensive team. Whereas I think Miami, it is a little bit more about just effort and focus and sticking to a game plan. So I'll say I think Miami can win a national title this weekend. I don't think that San Diego State can. They might be able to get past FAU. It's hard for me to envision them winning two games, though.
So do you think 5.5 is too many points then for Miami? Do you think they can cover?
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
They can. I mean, we're saying these things. We're also just ignoring the fact that UConn has been a damn machine so far in this tournament, winning every game by 15 points or more. They look like the real deal. Here's what I'll say for Miami, though. For all the bizarre things that have happened in this NCAA tournament, Miami has played the best possible team they can play in every single round here. You know, they played Drake in the first round. They played Indiana, who was the 4 seed. They played the 1 seed Houston in the Sweet 16, and they played the 2 seed Texas in the Elite Eight. They're not here because of an easy path. They're not here because of madness and a bracket falling apart. They've played everybody that they've had to play, and they've done so pretty effective. Drake is the only team that really had them dead to rights, which is impressive. So maybe it's a little bit too much, but having, you know, UConn, they look tremendous. They talking about checking every box. They've got the star guard in Jordan Hawkins, who has to carry a team. Sanogo's playing his best basketball of the season inside. They look like a well-oiled machine defensively. They're all on the same page. I think Miami can keep it close, but, I mean, UConn looks too tough to me. They've been the best team without question so far in this tournament.
One thing that stood out to me, Mike, is that all year long, what did we say about the college basketball season? It's wide open. It's wide open. I know we say that most years due to the format, but this year felt a little bit different. And we were all right based on what happened. Now, I think a little bit of that is the committee underseeding a lot of the teams that happened to make their deep run. I think that is certainly a part of what happened here. But a 4, a 5, a 5, a 9. With what we've seen in recent years out of 15s, upsetting 2s, including this season. Do you think it's just going to be more of this to come? It's just going to be crazy and embrace the variance?
I kind of think so. I mean, you know, we talked after the first couple of rounds about the 15 seeds advancing to the Sweet 16 in 3 consecutive years. We've had a ton of 13 upsets in recent years. We've had a 16 now win twice since 2017. It just seems like there are more players all over the place and coaches are finding these players better. I think the bigger thing is the top seeds now, they're just not quite as strong 15 years ago. I don't think that you have – and, I mean, I guess the easy explanation is you don't have that cohesiveness anymore because these guys aren't playing together for 2, 3, 4 years. It's great that you have transfers coming in and making immediate impacts. You have to play the transfer portal game now if you want to win a national title. But maybe teams just aren't gelling the way that they used to because they're, you know, they're together for 9 months. They're not together for 3-4 years. That's the only explanation I can think of. But I do feel like we're heading in a direction where this is going to kind of become the norm. I mean, we've had people are going nuts over, you know, the weird teams in the Final Four. We've had a 7 seed or worse in every single Final Four but one since 2012. Like, that's a that's a wild stat. It's not an outlier when you get, like, and you go back and think about it. Like, a lot of the times it's been Syracuse as a 10 seed or North Carolina as an 8 seed, but you've had Loyola tossed in there. You've got, you know, Florida Atlantic tossed in there this year. It, like, we have a bizarro Final Four team every single season now, which was not happening every year in the 90s and in the early 2000s. So I do think that this is here to stay. I think you're going to have, in most years, top seeds prevail ultimately, but we're going to keep having weird Final Four teams, and we're going to keep having a lot of first-round upsets, I think.
Oh, I love it. It's fun. A lot of parity. Let's look at the most outstanding player market. Sonogo, obviously the favorite. Is there any player that might have some value that people aren't thinking of that you would take a look at to win?
I remember looking at the lines going into the last weekend and thinking Jordan Hawkins' line was too long. I think he was like 50-1 or something. You got to remember, this is still a guards tournament. Guards have dominated so far in this tournament. I know Sonogo's playing really well. Hawkins was the guy who kind of carried them. He was their best scorer. He's shooting the ball really, really well from the outside. So I would look at somebody besides that. I know Norshad Omir is going to get good eyes from Miami. I know Isaiah Wong is going to get good eyes from Miami. But Jordan Miller played insanely well in their regional. Nigel Pack, I know, was the MOP. But Miller's coming off of a performance where he took 30 shots and missed none of them, which had not happened since Christian Laettner back in 92. And I think it's the only time in any game, NCAA tournament or otherwise, that something like that has happened. I think that any kind of off-the-beaten-path guard maybe deserves a good look. I would look at Tramiel from San Diego State. Matt Bradley's still going to get decent odds, but he's been their best player. Maybe Lamont Butler for San Diego State, too, if you think that he has a couple of games. He played well in their regional final. So I'm looking at guards. I'm not looking at bigs. I know that the bigs got you here, but Jordan Hawkins is my pick. I think when the Nets get cut down on Monday night, I think he's the guy who ends up taking down most outstanding player honors.
Mike, we've got about a minute left. You mentioned at the top that you're a Louisville guy. Well, what about Lamar? Would you give up the bag for him if you're a team looking for a QB?
I'd give up my left pinky for him because I'm a Lamar guy. I love the man. I'd do anything for him. He gave me some of the best football memories of my life. I get where – I understand both sides of this whole thing. I wish that he had signed an agent, if I'm just being honest. I think that it was a deal – going into his career where I wanted to see how it went. He clearly needs some help in all of this, if nothing else, just to keep teams honest. But hopefully he becomes a Detroit Lion, but we'll see what happens. I'm hoping for the best for Lamar. Wherever he goes, we'll be rooting for him.
You heard him. Pay the man. Mike Rutherford wants Lamar to get paid. So do I. I can't wait to see where he ends up. I hope he doesn't stay in Baltimore at this point. Mark Rutherford of CardChronicle.com. Thank you so much for joining us. This is BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. We'll get into Lamar and the fact that he requested a trade on March 2nd. Plus, Embiid and Jokic play tonight. That really impacts the MVP conversation as well. We'll look at tonight's NBA card. Next on the BetQL Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.